We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Well, it's important, John, to have that mentality. Just find a way to win. You know, no matter how you do it, it may not satisfy the critics if you win by 1 point to a team that they deem is not worthy of being up against you, and you can't get caught up in that. You just got to find a way to win in our league. It's a tough, tough league to win in, but just that mentality is a big deal. Find a way. Somehow, some way, find a way.
That's Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier. We will hear more from him coming up in just a little bit. He was live at Bills training camp, St. John Fisher. They're on the practice field right now. We'll get a little scoop on an AFC East rival, though, in the meantime, until we get some updates from after practice. Joining us now on the Wester Hotline, Jody Biasi, by the way, back here on the Extra Point Show, Jim McBride from the Boston Globe, at Globe Jim McBride on Twitter. Find his stuff at globe.com. Jim, Joe in Buffalo, thanks for hopping on today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Joe.
So I guess the natural starting point would be, how is it being over-talked about? Is it being exaggerated, the struggles that New England's having, especially on offense at training camp?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's, you know, there's no doubt they're struggling a little bit to get used to this new, what Bill Belichick has called streamlined offense, moving away from the offense that Josh McDaniels ran for so long and so successfully. You know, it's kind of a work in progress, but it is still training camp. And I think typically you find at this point in training camp, the defenses are usually ahead of the offenses anyway. So, you know, that in the fact that it is a new offense and there's some new pieces. Yeah, I think it's being, you know, it's still just practice. I think it's still being a little bit overblown. You know, if it comes week one and they're still looking like this, then I think people are going to panic a little more.
What is the concern at this point? Is it, I mean, maybe does it go all the way back to who is running the offense? Is it Matt Patricia? Is it individuals on the offensive line? Like, what I guess would be the main concern right now and driving things that are going wrong at camp?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of everything. You know, Mac Jones touched on this yesterday when we talked. It's kind of miscommunication. You know, you can't tell from where we are, our vantage point. You don't know when a pass is badly, you know, executed, whether the receiver ran the wrong route or whether Mac threw the wrong ball or whoever the quarterback happens to be during that period. It's kind of hard to tell. So it's communication. There is some changes on the offensive line. You know, the tackles have switched spots. Trent Brown's playing left tackle. Isaiah Wynn's over on the right side. They've got a rookie at left guard in Cole Strange. They've got a new right guard in Mike Unwinu. So it's kind of getting on the same page. It's more than anything. I don't think it's necessarily the communication between Matt Patricia, Joe Judge, and Mac more than it is just getting everyone execute at the same time. You know, it's an old cliche that 11 guys have to execute in order for a play to work, but that's what we're seeing right now. Not all 11 guys, you know, on the same page. And you know, I think that's the biggest concern at this point. And that's what these practices are for.
I guess, is with Mac Jones, is it being set up to where it's going to be difficult to evaluate him if things don't get back on track? I guess, is that even what New England's season is about for you? How much of it is just get the most out of the offense they can. If that means running the football all the time and smash mouth physical game is going to get you to the postseason, then that's what you do. And how much of it is for you, you got to let's get the right pieces on the O-line, the right receivers, because we're trying to see what we have in Mac Jones for the long term.
Yeah, despite the fact that they're moving away from Josh's offense and going to a more streamlined offense that, you know, Mac and several of the receivers say when they all get up to speed, they're going to be allowed to play quicker. And I think that they're still going to be a game plan offense. They're not going to say, hey, you know what, we need to run the ball this year every game. We need to establish that and make teams fear that. They're still going to do what they think is best each week. And there's no better game planner than Bill Belichick. So despite that his, you know, people think of him as a genius on defense, he's coached the offensive side of the ball. He's made those play calls before. He knows how to game plan specifically. They're going to change week to week depending on what's going to work for them.
Do we know who's going to call plays at this point? Is it going to be Patricia? Do you think it could be Belichick?
I think that it's still, you know, a work in progress. We see Matt Patricia with a walkie-talkie during practice, which is he's probably calling the plays in the Mac helmet, but he's also standing next to Bill during most practices. So it's hard to tell whether Bill is saying something to Matt and then Matt's relaying it or it's Matt calling the play. That'll probably become more evident tomorrow night when they open up against the Giants in the preseason opener. We'll see how that operation's going. But right now, that's kind of the way it's set up. You know, Joe Judge is the quarterback's coach. He kind of stands behind Mac or the quarterback, whoever the quarterback is for that period. And Bill and Matt are off to the side a little bit, you know, communicating. So it's kind of hard to tell what exactly the protocol is, but we'll know more next week.
Jim McBride of the Boston Globe on the Wesser Hotline for a couple more minutes here. The first two draft picks the Patriots had this offseason, Cole Strange in the first round, Tyquan Thornton in the second round, both were seen, like, I know NFL draft Twitter especially, as reaches when they did that. How have both guys looked? I feel like I've seen at least some tweets that Thornton seems to be having a pretty nice camp.
Yeah, they both are. You know, Cole Strange has pretty much been installed as the left guard since the day they drafted him. You know, he takes the place of Ted Karras, who signed with the Bengals. He kind of reminds me of Logan Mankins, another guy that surprised a lot of people when the Patriots took him in the first round, and he ended up being one of their best players for a long period of time, their best offensive lineman. He's really strong. He's had some lumps during one-on-one drills with some of the defensive tackles, but he's gotten better all the time. And Tyquan Thornton, you know, receivers have struggled. You know, young receivers have struggled in this offense, in the Patriot offense. But where it's more streamlined and I think where it's more basic, he's going to be able to excel. And he's, as you mentioned, he's had a very strong camp. He's extremely fast. He was the quickest receiver at the combine. But he's shown more than that. He's shown the speed, obviously, but he's shown moves. He's shown separation. He's shown that he can be physical, even though he's a skinnier guy. And he's high-pointing the ball really well. I mean, he makes a couple of eye-popping catches almost every practice. So, you know, he's still a little buried on the depth chart. He's probably fifth right now. But I could see him being the rare rookie receiver that makes an impact in the New England offense.
What's the synopsis on the defense at this point? No J.C. Jackson. Are they filling in the secondary the way they would hope?
Yeah, that remains to be seen as well. You know, Jalen Mills is probably the number one corner now on the outside. Terrence Mitchell is a guy they brought in from free agency. He kind of got a lot of run in the opposite perimeter corner. Jonathan Jones, who's been mainly a slot corner throughout his career, has also gotten some run on the outside. And there's two rookies they drafted, Marcus Jones and Jack Jones, have also, you know, they've flashed a little at camp. It's hard to replace a J.C. Jackson. You know, you think back to this defense even 2 years ago when they had J.C. Jackson and Stephon Gilmore as their perimeter corners. Pretty great 1-2 matchup in this league. And now both those guys are gone. So it's kind of a mix and match back there. But they've also got Devin McCourty at safety, who can really make up for a lot of mistakes. He covers for a lot of guys. He puts the pieces in place. So the Patriots have had a history of taking cornerbacks and making them really good. Well, you know, people say they strike out on receivers. They usually hit it in their cornerback. So It'll be interesting to see. And a guy that's really keeps getting better every practice is Malcolm Butler, you know, kind of a flashback guy. So we'll see, you know, how much run he gets.
Last thing for you, Jim. What's the bar for the Patriots this season? Like, what's the minimum in which the season would be labeled a success? Is it just getting back to the playoffs? Is it winning a playoff game, the division? Like, in your mind, what's the bare minimum that this team needs to get to where the team, fans, everybody will be happy?
Yeah, I think it's 10 wins again. You know, 10 wins in a playoff spot like last year. You know, people were pretty happy with that with a rookie quarterback. I think with all the changes, especially in the coaching staff, that's kind of the bar right now is to get to the playoffs and maybe make some noise once they get there. But, you know, I still think, you know, given all the changes in the division, Buffalo is clearly the number one team in the AFC East and probably the AFC in general. I still think the Patriots are right behind them in the division. It's playoffs or bust, really, because people down here are used to getting to the playoffs and they're not happy when they don't.
I mean, this isn't saying much. It really feels like that week one Miami game. I mean, litmus test for the Dolphins, but New England too, right? Like, if they are going to continue on, like, they were threatening the Bills all the way through last season. They had the division lead with a few games to go. Doesn't it feel like the winner of that game probably, well, has a very good chance of being the Bills' direct threat for the entire season?
Yeah, and you hate to say that about an opening game, but that's kind of true. And the Patriots have struggled in Miami in recent years, even right really throughout franchise history. They've struggled. But these games, when they play Miami early in the season in Miami, it doesn't seem to have the, you know, there's not such a big advantage for the Dolphins weather-wise as there is when they play down in December and the Patriots are all of a sudden walking into that, you know, furnace after practicing, you know, up here for a couple of months. So they're playing in a lot of heat here. They're going to practice in Las Vegas for some joint practices, and then they're going to practice down there. So it's, you know, they're getting used to the heat. It should be kind of an even footing game. It could tell you a lot, but, you know, it's a lot to put a lot of pressure on a week one game like that. But, yeah, I do think the Patriots and the Dolphins are probably going to be the biggest challenges to the Bills in the division. I'm sure the Jets just aren't there yet.
Don't think we know this yet for sure, but Bills fans listening, the Thursday opener obviously will be out of the way. So that's Sunday 1 o'clock game. I think the game will get locally here, probably will be that Patriot-Dolphin game, but we'll see. All right, Jim McBride, Boston Globe. At Globe Jim McBride, a great follow on Twitter if you're keeping track of the Bills' rivals and you want the scoop on the Patriots, be sure to follow him and check out his stuff at the Boston Globe. Hey, Jim, thanks for joining me, man, and we'd love to talk again, maybe after the season gets rolling.
Sounds good, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. All right, Jim McBride, some Patriots info there from him. We will talk some Titans coming up at 11. Doesn't sound like the alarm bells are going off from Jim, at least. Fans seem to think that way. WEEI, I think, seems to think that way. Or at least it sounds that way. I think it could be bad. It could be good. Could be what it looked like last year. Pretty good team. Squeak into the playoffs, maybe. I don't see them going on a 7-game win streak like they did last season. I just think there's great potential for it to all fall apart. If the defense regresses, losing some talent, which a lot of times it will regress anyway, if they don't know what they're doing on offense, that's all you need. To be a bad team, that's all you need. Defensive regression and a bad offense. That's it. How many offenses in the league would you trust less right now? I'm not kidding. I might only have one. I think right now there would only be one offense in the NFL I trust less than New England. And I think that would be Chicago. Chicago is going to throw Justin Fields to the wolves. Look up their receivers. I promise you, you've never heard of them. I've never heard of them. I'm in 20 fantasy leagues. And the guys that are getting first team reps for the Bears, I've never seen, drafted, or heard of. In 20-plus round fantasy drafts. No clue. So the Bears, I think, have to be last. Who else? I trust Jacksonville, I think, right now more than I do New England. I trust a Doug Peterson-called offense with Trevor Lawrence at quarterback. I know he hasn't showed as much as Mac Jones, but he's certainly more talented. Travis Etienne, adding the receivers they did, Christian Kirk, they added Zay Jones. These are not great receivers, but they're upgrades over what they had. And I think they're better receivers than what New England's got. And they've got Marvin Jones still. I trust Jacksonville more than I do the Patriots. Do you trust the Jets more? Better receivers, Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore. They've got Breece Hall at running back. The O-line took a hit with Mekhi Becton. The Jets, it might be a push. Who are the other bad offenses? Houston.
Seattle.
Yeah, I would trust Seattle less. But that's two, at least.
Philly?
No, I like Philly's offense. I like Philly's offense. They'll be middle of the pack, I bet, at least. A.J. Brown, I mean, they'll figure out a way to use him. And Jalen Hurts can run. So I'm good there. The Giants I'm good with because of Dable, and the receiving position is really strong. Who else? I mean, New England, this is what's unique about them. How many elements of their offense do you trust? That's what it comes down to, right? How many elements of the offense do you trust?
How about Carolina?
Carolina, yeah. No, I think I trust Carolina more. Do you trust the play caller in New England? No. Do you trust the O-line in New England? Nah. They lost Shaq Mason. They still have Isaiah Wynn, Cole Strange. Like, okay, I'm iffy on that, but fine. The run game, all right. How about this receiver position? Do I trust their receivers to get open? No. None of them. Devontae Parker is going to be their best guy. He's a contested catch guy. Tyquan Thornton's their fast guy. He was being projected as a fifth-round pick or later by some sites, and he went in the second round. So it's one thing to have a fifth-round receiver talent like a Khalil Shakir and have him be like the fifth, sixth guy and be like, oh, yeah, if he showed up and did something, it'd be a nice bonus. It's another thing to be put in a position where you have a fifth-round talent receiver and, oh, he's got to play a role for us. That's where New England might be with this Thornton. So I don't trust any element of it. Carolina, I think I trust more. Mayfield, I've got a baseline there, a quarterback. I've got a great wide receiver in DJ Moore. I've got another good receiver in Robbie Anderson. And I've got the best running back in football. Yeah, I think I trust Carolina. Not by a lot, but I think I trust Carolina's offense more. Atlanta, Kyle Pitts. See, some of these offenses that we're mentioning here, they're not good offenses, but they've got that one game-breaking talent. Carolina's got DJ Moore and McCaffrey. Atlanta has Kyle Pitts. Houston has Brandon Cooks, who is not quite the same level as a Pitts or a DJ Moore or McCaffrey, but he's close. The guy gets open as well as anyone in the league. New England, you have the questions about the play calling. You have the questions about the O-line. You have the questions about the quarterback. Oh, and nobody gets open. That's been a part of the story at camp is Mac Jones holding onto the ball because he's looking downfield and nobody's getting open. I don't know how you move the ball and win in this league unless you can get receivers that separate and have multiple receivers that separate. I think, did we land on two teams that we trust less offensively? Who do we arrive at?
Did we say Washington?
Are they good for this? I hate the quarterback. I don't know who calls plays, I'm not going to lie. I like the receivers more. Yeah, no, I trust Washington more. It goes to my point of, do your guys get open? Terry McLaurin gets open. Jahan Dotson would step right in as New England's number one receiver, maybe, who Washington picked in the first round. No, I think I'm on Washington. I trust Chicago less. There's another team that I just mentioned that I forget. So maybe two. Seattle. You mentioned Seattle. That might be it. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'd love to get you involved on today's show. 11 o'clock, Teron Davenport talking some Titans. Leslie Frazier coming up in hour number two as well. We have an update on Stephon Diggs. We'll bring that to you when we come back. Joe DiBiase and the Extra Point Show here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.